You have your Bibles with you today. Will you turn, please, to the book of the Revelation as we notice Revelation chapter 6. When we read the sixth chapter of the book of the Revelation, we are in a period of time that is yet future as far as the earth is concerned, the period of time known as the Great Tribulation. In the Bible, it is called the Great Tribulation. It's called the Day of God's Wrath. It's called the time of Jacob's trouble, because the nation of Israel will be dealt with in a very special way. It is called, as well, the great day of the wrath of God the Almighty. All of these phrases are used to describe this particular period of time, because the time is going to be related to intense suffering. Various passages of Scripture at which we will not look at this time, but which we will come to as we continue our study in the book of the Revelation, indicate that this period of time is of 7 years' duration. The chief characteristic of this period are judgment and suffering. As we look at chapter 6, we will have presented to us the first series of judgments that will fall upon the earth because God is angry with the human race, because, as we learned in Revelation chapter 4, the human race dared to break the everlasting covenant. I'm going to say something now which I have already said in other comments. I'm going to repeat it because it seems to me that it's difficult for us to keep it in mind. It is this, that while this tribulation is going on the earth, if you are a born-again believer, if you have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you will be in heaven. When you read of the horrors described in this portion of the Word of God, remember that they have no relation to you if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You will not be here to endure this tribulation and this suffering. But you should be here now thinking concerning your relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. And should you be without Him, should you continue in your rejection of Him, when the Lord Jesus Christ comes, you will endure everything that we're going to be thinking about in this lesson, plus a number of things we will be thinking about as we continue our study. One other thing I would say by word of exhortation, and that is, if you have unsaved loved ones, people who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, they will have to go through this tribulation if they continue in their rejection of Jesus Christ. So as we pursue this study, I can say to you, you ought to bear a greater burden for the lost as you understand this about which we are studying, a greater burden than you ever have before. Will you read with us then what we find in Revelation chapter 6, beginning with verse 1, "And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard as it were the noise of thunder, one of the four living creatures saying, Come and see. And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. And when he'd opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature say, Come and see. And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another, and there was given unto him a great sword. And when he'd opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature say, Come, and see, and I beheld, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four living creatures say, A measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny, and see thou hurt not the oil and the wine. And when he'd opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature say, Come and see. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death, and hell followed with him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with sword, with hunger, with death, with the beasts of the earth. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God, and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season, until their fellow servants also, and their brethren that should be killed as they were, should be fulfilled. And And I beheld when he'd opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places, and the kings of the earth, and the great men, the rich men, the chief captains, the mighty men, every bondman, every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and the rocks, Fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? We have read the entire portion to you today, not because we think we will be able to discuss it at one sitting, but so that you might have the complete picture. You will notice that this chapter begins with the Lamb of God opening the seals. Now, if you should begin to read the book of the Revelation at chapter 6, you would have no idea what John was talking about. But you will remember that from chapter 5, the Lord Jesus Christ went up to the throne of God and took from God's hand a book that was sealed with seven seals. When he did this, all heaven rejoiced because they realized that this was the book of the redemption of creation that would result in the eventual reign of the Lord Jesus Christ over the entire earth. When we looked at the seven-sealed book, we told you that one of the purposes of the seals is as a restraint. That becomes very evident when each one of these seals is opened, because as the Lord God takes the seven-sealed book and lifts the seal, it is as though he opens the gate and things begin to happen. It is as though he takes down the restraining bar and something begins to happen on the earth. If we do not realize today that the only reason the earth is not in worse condition than it is the restraining power of God within the earth, we do not understand the Word of God. For verification of that, you might turn with me to Paul's second letter to the Thessalonians, and notice chapter 2, the paragraph which begins with verse 6, where we read, And now ye know that which withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let, until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned, who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. This paragraph to which we have asked you to turn is a paragraph which explains what happens when the Lord Jesus Christ opens the seven-sealed book. You will notice in verse 7 that the mystery of iniquity, the mystery of evil, which is going to find its fruition in the life of the Antichrist, is already at work in our world. But somebody is hindering it. This is the meaning of the word letteth. He who now letteth will let. More accurately, it is he who now hindereth will hinder until he be taken out of the way. When this seven-sealed book is opened in Revelation 6, when all hindrances are removed, the world is required to feel the brunt of God's judgment. So we say to you that the opening of the seals is primarily the removal of restraint. Now, if you will go back to Revelation chapter 6, you will notice with me that when the Lord Jesus Christ opens the first four seals of this seven-sealed book, there appear four horsemen. These four horsemen are familiar to all readers of world literature because many references have been made to these four horsemen of the apocalypse. And when you read the phrase, the four horsemen of the apocalypse, these are the horsemen about which people are writing. Now, I'm not suggesting to you that all of our writers of literature and all of the editors who write their editorials and make reference to the four horsemen of the apocalypse know what they are talking about. But the four horsemen of the apocalypse, as revealed here in chapter 6 of the book of the Revelation, is a familiar phrase. Will you glance down at verse 2 and notice a white horse and a rider, Then will you glance down at verse 4 and notice a red horse and a rider? And then down at verse 5 where you see a black horse and a rider? And then down at verse 8 where you see a pale horse? A better word for pale horse would be a green horse, because it is the color of death. The thing we need to ascertain before we go any further is whether these horses and these riders are representatives of individuals, that is, of human beings, or whether they are representatives of movements that are to come upon the earth. I'm going to suggest to you that I believe these are not human riders. I'm going to suggest to you that these are not necessarily heavenly riders with distinct personalities, but rather they represent four distinct movements or four distinct occurrences that are going to come to pass upon the earth. Now, if I say that, I must have a reason for saying it. And as you glance at your clock, you realize we don't have time to present to you the reason. So we hope that you'll be listening tomorrow, that we might be able to take you in the Word of God to various places where we believe it can be proven without doubt that the four horsemen of the apocalypse are not four individuals, but rather representative of four movements which are to happen on the earth after the Lord Jesus Christ is gone. Our time is gone today. We must leave you. Will you remember to pray for us? And may God bless each one of you today.